Amen. And hold that last note out like our song leader did. That's right. Good singing. Thank you so much. And thank you. Good piano playing up here. We appreciate it so much. And at this time, young people may be dismissed to children's church, both of them, right? And I invite you to turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. And we're going to look at verse 8 this morning. Revelation 21 and verse 8. And when you find that verse, would you please stand? Let's stand together and follow along as I read Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. Our Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon our time in the Word today. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts. Glorify your name. Help me as I preach. May we give attention to what you would have to say to us this morning. For indeed, this is the Word of God. This is the inspired word of the living God that has come to us and will never pass away. Heaven and earth will be burned up one day, but your word will abide forever. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, that we have of having in our possession the very words of our living Savior that you want us to hear and take heed to. So challenge us, motivate us, convict us, encourage us this morning. As we meet in this brief time around the Word of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There is a lake burning with fire and brimstone. There is, right here. We just read about it. There is a lake of fire one day that will be the end of the unsaved. On the other hand, listen to what the Lord said to his disciples on the night before his death. He made this promise to them in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know." You see, there is a place called the lake of fire, but there is a place prepared called heaven, too, for you and me who have trusted him as Savior or who need to trust him. There is a way, the Lord Jesus said. There is a way. People need to know that today. They aren't hearing it. And they may not be hearing it from you and me. And if they don't hear it from you and me, who are they going to hear it from? There is a way. And Jesus said, and you know. It's not you hope, but you know that way. And you need to be in this way. Are you in the way that Jesus talks about? Well, in Revelation 21, we saw, first of all, verse 1, the appearance of the new heaven and the new earth. John writes, "And I saw in his vision, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." All is moving to this new era by the sovereign, omnipotent hand of God. Everything is moving forward to the day when God brings upon this universe a new heaven and a new earth. And so we have that glorious appearance. Secondly, we saw the capital of the new heaven and the new earth, verse 2. "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And this bride includes the church of which we are a part even this morning. Those who are part of the local church, which is so vitally important in God's plan, and the church universal. Second Corinthians 11:2, Paul said, I have espoused you or betrothed you to one husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his bride. He is the husband. And in that day, we are going to be a part of that new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride. Are we being prepared now? Are we getting ready for that day when we will be brought forth in glory to see our glorious Lord? So the church, so important. I hope you put a lot of importance on the church, a lot of importance on this church, because Jesus established it. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. And he said that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He didn't make a promise like that to any other institution that I know of, but the Lord Jesus puts a high value, a premium, on the importance of the church. So praise God, in that day we'll see the bride glorified. And then number three, we see the new reality of the new heaven and new earth. Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will be with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. God will be with them. And what more can we say? God with man. That's going to be wonderful. We'll be in his very presence. And then the changes to the new heaven and new earth in verse 4 and 5. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. God's word is true. God's word is faithful. It is inerrant. Every single word, we believe in the plenary inspiration of God. We believe that every single word is inspired. He's faithful and true. So we see the changes in the new heaven and new earth. There are no mores. All the no mores, you see. No s'mores. I'm sorry, there won't be s'mores when you get in there. There'll be no mores when you get there. So we need a new dessert, I guess, and we'll have it there. And then number 5, we see the residence of the new heaven and the new earth, verse 6 and 7. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Who are the residents? Who are the inhabitants of that heaven and earth? Two classes, the ones who are thirsty and the ones who overcome. The ones who thirst, the ones who recognize their need and who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And the ones who see their need to get saved and finally do get saved. And then those who overcome. And we asked last time, are we overcomers? Do we have the victory in our life? Are we more than conquerors through him that loved us? You can be, you need to be, and by grace you will be. And then number 6, we come to our passage this morning, the outcasts from the new heaven and the new earth. The outcasts from the new heaven and the new earth. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable. I always have a hard time with that word. It just means awful. And murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Here is a very serious warning. The topic of hell and the lake of fire is avoided probably in most of our churches in this land today. Didn't used to be that way, but it is today. I know I grew up in a church. I don't ever remember anything being said about hell in that church because I don't think anything was ever said. If it ever been said, I would have noticed, and it probably would have got my attention. But hell is avoided in the churches, but God does not avoid it. Okay, you got that? And if God doesn't avoid it, we had better not avoid the teaching about hell. These people will not enjoy the glories of heaven and eternal life. These are the unforgiven and unredeemed sinners. And there are a number of similar lists of such sinners, such as in chapter 22, verse 14 of Revelation. Turn there if you would. 22:14. Blessed are they which do his commandments, and they that may have right to the tree of life may enter in through the gates of the city. But without or outside are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. These are outside the city of heaven, the city of Jerusalem, the new heaven, new earth. They're in hell. They're in the lake of fire. Look at Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 25, if you would turn there. Romans 1, 25. Speaking of those who reject the knowledge of God that was revealed to them, even in the creation, verse 19 and 20, they could have known the truth and they rejected the truth. Then God goes on to speak of them in verse 25 of Romans 1, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto their vile affections, or their degrading passions, it's also translated. Their degrading or dishonorable passions. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. In other words, they're homosexuals. God condemns it. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one to another, men with men, working that which is unseemly or shameless, indecent acts. God condemns and pours out his wrath on the sin of homosexuality, a sin that is now being accepted in so-called evangelical churches. We are in bad shape in our churches when churches begin to not only accept homosexuality and it's all its degrading perversions, but homosexual marriage. There is no such thing. There is no such thing. And it's contrary to the Word of God. It's contrary to nature. And we see that repeatedly denounced as in Scripture, as in this passage, as many, many other sins, of course. We can throw in there adultery as well, right? So that which is shame. And receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet or which was appropriate. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate, or depraved mind, to do those things which are not convenient, which shouldn't be done, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, that's just all kinds of sexual immorality, sex outside of marriage, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate or strife, deceit, malignity or maliciousness, whisperers, slanders, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Wow. So God puts rebellion of young people against their authority in the home right up there with homosexuality and fornication and murder. It's there. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, and that's what we're reading about in Revelation, is the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, and not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. We read 1 Corinthians 6:9, you may turn there as well, another list. Just to realize how much God addresses, how many times God addresses this sobering truth that he will judge sin and he will judge sinners. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Okay, we read about the judgment of God in Romans 1. Here God says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, or the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's another way of saying those who practice homosexuality. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He says it over and over, and such were some of you. Can you believe that? He's addressing Christians who were among this category of sinful people. But such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Oh, how God is a God of mercy and grace. God can save anyone, and he can and does save those who are involved in a sexual perversion, and that's what is needed today. Not acceptance of their sin, but leaning of them to the Savior. We read in Galatians 5, another list, Galatians 5, 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, and the works of the flesh are those which are going to be burned up in the fires of hell, are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness or sensuality, idolatry, witchcraft or sorcery, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness. By the way, when does a person get drunk? Well, I just drink socially. Oh, so you just drink one or two or three beers? Are you not on your way to drunkenness with one beer? By the way, you know the alcohol of the Old Testament, New Testament times was diluted with three parts water. Three parts water, and that's documented. And someday I always think we're going to try to look into that. But, you know, it did not have the high alcohol content. And kings were not to drink anyway, and we are a kingdom of priests unto our God. So we have no business touching alcohol because God condemns drunks to hell. And I don't even want to go down that road. I don't even want to be near there, not to mention how it looks. People see me drink, and say, well, pastor drinks. Well, they don't know I just drink one beer a month or one beer a week, right? Only my wife knows that. And I told her not to tell anybody, right? Well, what would you think? No, you said, no, our pastor doesn't drink. No, well, of course he doesn't. I haven't drank for, oh, happy anniversary. Dear, we it's our anniversary today. And it was 42 years ago. We got saved. No, we got married. And it was 40 years ago we got saved. Okay, so it's been 40 years since I drank. So anyway, and I just thought, I don't need it. I can just stay away from it. I just drink Pepsi. If I need to drink, I'll drink Pepsi, you know. That's about as caustic as I need. So, okay, I'm wandering here, rambling. But what a so, anyway, God says all these will not inherit the kingdom of God, Galatians 5:21. All those who live a lifestyle of this sin. That doesn't mean that someone who commits an act of sin is condemned to hell. But the idea is of a lifestyle of that. But what a sobering reminder. And to those who read this promise and warning, take heed. We need to listen up. God is serious about sin. He is a holy, righteous, just God. And he can't even look on our sin. We see here the creation of a new heaven and new earth that doesn't change the status of the lost in the lake of fire. You see, the third heaven is a safe place to live because none of these wicked who make life so miserable on earth will be there. Sin has made a mess and has wrecked and ruined this world. And God is determined that sin and sinners will not ruin the world to come. They will be separated. Their sin is going to shut them out forever. The dogs are going to be outside. There's no third resurrection. There is no universal salvation. None. The decision made for Christ in life determines our destiny forever. And that decision has to be made today. Well, the first group excluded from heaven here in verse 8 are the fearful. These are those who lack endurance. Jesus said in Matthew 24:13 that he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And those who fall away when their faith is tested or opposed, because are they fall away because their faith is not real. I don't believe you can lose your salvation, but I think testing can be, reveal whether or not you truly are saved. I think they're like the people in the parable of the sower or of the soils in Matthew 13, 20, that he received seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and with joy receives it, yet he has not root in himself, but he endureth for a while. But when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended or he falls away. It's revealed that he never had true salvation. And then Hebrews 10, 35 and 36 talks about those who fall back into perdition. Actually, Hebrews 10, 35 to 39. Fearful, the fearful has the idea of cowardice. These are cowards. These are the cowards who wouldn't confess Christ because they feared what men would say about them or think about them. It's a cowardice that denies Christ in order to be safe, in order to not offend anyone or upset anyone. They refuse to own and confess Christ, and so in that day they will be denied by Christ. Matthew 10, 32 speaks of that. And Paul said in Romans 10, 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or that Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Okay, the fearful will not be there. Secondly, the unbelieving will not be in heaven, but instead will be cast into the lake of fire. The unbelieving are the faithless. They have no faith. They do not believe. And the Lord said, the one who believes not is condemned already and shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John 3, 18 and 36. Paul says in Ephesians 2, by grace are you saved through faith, through believing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16. John 3, 16, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. The unbelieving will not be there. Outwardly, they may not be wicked, vile, filthy sinners, but that's not the standard. That's not what sends a person to hell. Rather, his unbelief is a cause of his going to the lake of fire. His refusal to surrender to Christ. They're not believing, they're not trusting, they're not men of faith, but instead they're men of selfishness and idolatry. These are the cowards who wouldn't confess Christ because they feared the reproach of men. And again, Matthew 10, 32, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, but he that denies me, him will I deny. And John 12, 42 and 43 says that the religious rulers would not confess Christ because they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Number three, we see the abominable will be there. The abominable will be in the lake of fire. The abominable are the vile, the polluted, the detestable, the corrupt, those who are completely caught up in wickedness and evil, contaminated with the filthy evils of this world. And you know what? As you and I look around, we realize there's a lot of filth to go around. The word, this Greek word in the Greek has the idea of stink. It means that it stinks, becomes foul, detestable. It's a stench. It's like sewage, garbage, bilge. These are they who allowed themselves to become stained and contaminated with the filthy evils of this world. And if only men would realize that when they depace themselves with the uncleanness and abominations of this present evil world, they are heaping on themselves fiery judgment for eternity. John Gill, who wrote back about 300 years ago, said, and the abominable, every sinful man is so in the sight of God, but here it denotes such who are the worst of sinners, given up to sinning, who are abominable and to every good work reprobate, who are addicted to the worst of crimes, as were the Sodomites and others. We are headed there if we are not there already. As we see this country's not just tolerance of sodomy, but endorsement and promotion of it. And we need to resist it and preach God's word and say, God will have none of it. And Albert Barnes in the 1800s said, these, the abominable, must all, of course, be excluded from a pure and holy world. And this description, alas, would embrace a lamentably large portion of the world as it has been hitherto. Number four, the murderers. Murderers will be there. Now, can the same person have committed murder? Well, right off the top of my head, no. The answer is yes. Yes. Right? A same person could have committed murder. But he is now redeemed and washed of the terrible sin of murder. The murder here would be an unrepentant murder. You see, even King David was responsible for taking the life of another, but he confessed and he repented and was forgiven. Psalm 51 reveals that. Number five, we see the whoremonger will be there. Whoremonger, the Greek word is pornos, or pornois. Pornois comes from the root word pornos, and pornos is where we get our word pornography. It's set the sexually immoral, which would be all types of sexual sins, including adultery, fornication, and sodomy. And again, these are those who refuse to receive God's offer of mercy and salvation and cleansing. These regard lightly the ruin of virtue. It's sexual promiscuity. And folks, I don't need to remind you, but I will. Sexual promiscuity is not only accepted today, but it is encouraged and it is promoted everywhere, all the time. And oh, how we need to guard ourselves from it and guard our children. But God's law on the matter has not changed. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Exodus 20:14. And promiscuous dress is everywhere. And it's summertime again. And yeah, here I go again. But we've got to be careful. We need to stay away from it. We're to be separated from the world. The world's fashions go towards being promiscuous, sexual. And so we have the low-cut tops for ladies. And the more you can reveal, the better, the more glamorous. And I know it's hard to go to the store and find anything, but and shorts, you know, it's like the more leg we show, the better. Ladies, men notice that. Men are attracted to those beautiful legs, you know. That's why they show them. And why do we buy into that? We buy into what the world is promoting, promiscuity, by the clothing it sells, by what it promotes on television. And we don't have to buy into it. I don't mean we have to dress like the Amish or something, but we can dress appropriately, conservatively, modestly. Again, what are we doing? What are we trying to show? We should dress in a way where it points to our face. We are very casual today. I love casual, but there's a time and a place to be casual, you know. I don't know if you noticed this morning, but I'm so casual this morning, I decided to wear shorts. No, I mean, you know, I know we have preachers today on Sunday morning wearing shorts and t-shirt. Well, to me, we're just going along with the casualness of the world, and we, you know, pretty soon our whole way of thinking is so casual. And again, I'm casual every day, but there's that appropriateness. We've just got to be careful. You know, swimming, you know, we don't go swimming in our bra and underwear, right, ladies? But the stuff that women are wearing swimming is more skimpy than if you'd go in your bra and underwear. Now, I'm getting a little pointed here, but all you got to do is dye your bra and underwear, and that would be okay, you know. But so we can wear a T-shirt. We can pull shorts up over our swimming suit, things like that. and make it modest. Let's do all we can to make it modest. I'm not saying dress the swimwear like they did in the early 1900s, where the guys had these things down below their knees, and you know, you look and you wonder how did they even walk in some of that. So I just encourage us to be mindful that we need to set a different tone. We need to be set apart from the world. The Bible is so clear over and over now. Come out from among them and be separate. Love not the world and things. And that does include promiscuous dress. And it's so promoted. And our young people grow up with that. And they need to be taught. And they need to see us as adults setting an example of appropriate, conservative, modest dress. And God helps us to do that. Well, and what about pornography? Okay, whoremongers, those involved in pornos will be judged. Well, the root word of pornography comes from this word. How we need to guard our eyes and our hearts. We walk precariously along the canyon of yielding to the temptation of lust if we don't rein our lust in. And if you are involved in pornography and you are not getting the victory over pornography, you must and you can. There is a way of victory. We must see the seriousness of the offense against the pure holiness and the one offended and realize there is mercy, cleansing, forgiveness at the mercy seat of God. Okay? 1 Corinthians 5:9 speaks of not having company with fornicators. And we need to take those warnings seriously. We read of those who defile themselves with mankind in that passage, 1 Corinthians 5:9-13. I don't have time to read all that. But anyway, we need to turn away from it and get right with God and get in the Word of God and ask God for help and strength and be accountable to others, be accountable to other family members and friends. And then number six, sorcerers will not be there. Sorcerers. This is from the Greek word pharmakos, pharmakos, from which the English words pharmacy and pharmaceuticals come. So this may be speaking of those who use mind-altering drugs in occult religion. So this would include those who practice witchcraft, spiritism, magic, demon worship, and dabbling in the occult. The lake of fire is appointed for those that mess with this evil. And then seven, idolaters. Those whose lives are characterized by such things give evidence that they are not saved. They can't enter into the city. And idolatry is not just bowing down to a wooden pole or a stone idol, but it's giving of the heart to that which takes the place of God, like giving the heart to covetousness and selfishness and lust, which are forbidden by God. And then number eight, all liars. All liars will not be there. Satan was the first liar and the father of it, John 8:44. And God condemns all who make a lie, speak a lie, or act out a lie. And I'm here to tell you, our White House, our government is in trouble because it's full of liars. Full of liars. And it's contaminated the whole country. And they shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In contrast to the eternal bliss of the righteous in heaven, the wicked will suffer eternal torment in hell. How sobering. How it ought to shake us up. The new heaven and the new earth await believers, and the final hell awaits resurrected unbelievers. For believers, I trust that includes almost everyone here this morning, it will be a universe of eternal happiness as we dwell forever in the presence of God. For unbelievers, it'll be a terrifying, terrifying place of unbearable torment and unrelieved misery away from God's presence. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. The choices that men and women make in this life determine in which of those realms they will live forever. And all of these groups of the wicked are to spend eternity in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The devil and the false prophet and the beast have already experienced their doom in this place at that time, where they will be tormented day and night forever and ever, Revelation 20:10. And now men have to learn that they too must suffer the same judgment, because they cannot enter into the new order of the redeemed lest they contaminate it. They're defiled. And nothing defiled is going to enter into the glories of heaven. And their doom is called the second death, or a second kind of death. It's a spiritual death. It's separation from God forever. It's a banishment from God, all those who refuse to be reconciled to him through faith in the death of his son. And they will suffer in the fire, which shall never be exhausted, and where there is consciousness and activity of spirit. Read Luke 16, we realize the rich man was very aware of his suffering in hell. Now, we don't know where hell is, but it is someplace, and it is real. And you don't want to visit this awful place. Such were some of you, but you are washed. I hope you're washed. And I want to close with Psalm 32. Psalm 32, I love Psalm 32. Because it's another, along with Psalm 51, probably written after Psalm 51, one of David's psalms of forgiveness. I'm glad God forgives. That's why I need it over and over again. And you do too, if you're honest. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and his sin is covered. That's why we'll avoid the lake of fire. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. Remember, David had committed adultery and murder. And you talk about the weight of sin and guilt. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. He was oppressed with the guilt of his sin. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. I don't know what your sin is, but if you'll confess it, God forgives it, and it goes away. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Is that Psalm 103? He just takes it all away, and we become white. Wash me. Wash me, David said in Psalm 51. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. And then verse 7, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. And all that is pointing to the ultimate hiding place, heaven. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. The Lord says, be ye not as a horse or as a mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with bit and bridle. In other words, humbly submit yourself to the Lord's dealings. Verse 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. We just read about them in Revelation. But he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him or surround him about. And so be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Praise God, we can go away glad because we're not going to go to hell. And we can go out and tell others that they don't have to go to hell. And there are many. So God, do a work in my heart that I might have a greater burden to tell everyone there is a hell, but there is a Savior who died to save you from this hell. Will we do it? And praise God for the joy, forgiveness, cleansing that he gives us. Nothing like ending on a positive note after going through the depths of hell, if you will. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we need your help. Bless as we close. Have your way. Work in our hearts. We praise you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness. Have your way, and may we respond to your working as it pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen.